proposal to build a large-scale wind farm across the Midlands was discussed last night at a public meeting held in Athlone, County Westmeath. The meeting was organised by MEP Marion Harkin, I'll be talking to her shortly, and also to Kenneth Matthews, the Chief Executive of the Irish Wind Energy Association. But first, Valerie Cox was at the Athlone meeting. Val, what happened?
Well, the people who came along represented the wider wind farm family, if you like. Community groups were well represented, and there were lots of councillors from Westmeath and beyond. Also, the Scottish MEP, Struan Stevenson, who is totally opposed to wind farms. But first, I want to play you this clip from what became a very angry meeting. A Fianna Fáil councillor, John Keogh from Roscommon, got up to speak. But also in the room were Michael and Dorothy Keane. Now, the Keanes are actually leaving their home in Roscommon because of problems that they have with a wind farm. And they're understandably very angry about that. But when Councillor Keogh stood up, they were furious because they said, look, you've never, ever been in touch with us. You've never come to see us. And the audience rode in behind the Keanes and there were fireworks.
It's the very point that Michael and Dorothy have been referring to.
Have you ever spoken to me or Dorothy?
No.
Did you ever come to our home
no.
or telephone us
no.
or show any concern
no.
for us?
Not a bit.
Forgive me for being... Forgive me for being angry. Forgive me for being angry. I am leaving my home with my wife while you stay in your home with your wife and family. Now, you can talk all you like. Keep your talk for the council. You don't do anything for the people. The county manager makes the decisions. We shouldn't even have you in place. You do nothing for anybody except yourselves. And that man over there has never called our home. Never. No councillor in Roscommon has ever made contact with Dorothy and I. Never. So keep it to yourself. We don't want to know.
And also, we are at the top.
You don't mean a thing. You don't care for people. What have you done? You haven't even come to see us. You haven't telephoned us. You did nothing. You just talk.
Okay. I am fully in support of the people in this room.
Have you come to us?
I haven't come to you.
Why?
I don't want to aggravate you. It is not my intention to aggravate you.
We have been evicted from our home. The land agent is back in Ireland.
If you read my submission to the county council on that.
My arse. I'm sorry.
I completely agree. I can give you my commitment here tonight that I will not support a county development plan that does not reflect what the people in this room and others are saying.
You got a bit of a mauling in there tonight.
I did indeed, yes, yeah.
I mean, you had a couple in there from Roscommon who are losing their home because of a wind farm. And they said you hadn't even been to see them.
They hadn't come to me in relation to it. Anyone that has approached me in relation to the wind farm issue, I have met with them. I've gone to the action group meetings. I've gone to listen to what people have said. I've come here to the public meeting to listen to it because this is a topical issue that's taking place in our county where wind farm seems to be the energy of choice that's been suggested in Roscommon. I have a major issue with it. I'm not saying that I'm opposed to it, but what I am saying is that we need to be more careful in how we plan for the future.
Have you ever heard about the Keynes before? Have you ever heard their story?
I have heard their story. But tonight was the first time I've actually sat down to understand the complaints and the medical conditions that they've been experiencing. That's the first time I've
a bit late, though, isn't it?
It's not a bit late.
All right, that was Councillor John Keogh. You also talked to the Keynes. They're actually, mm-hmm. as you said, leaving their home because of a wind farm.
Yeah, they settled in this area in Knockadangan in Roscommon about 8 years ago. And I spoke to them afterwards and they told me why they were so bothered.
Well, for 2 years since the wind farm was operational on a hill 700 metres from our home, we've been driven demented by the constant 24-hour-a-day noise.
Dorothy, what's this doing to your life?
It's absolutely devastated our life together. We moved to Roscommon to prepare for our retirement. We bought a wreck of a place. Michael spent 8 years absolutely doing all he could to renovate it.
I'm sorry, I'm upsetting you both now.
We're always there. We're always upset.
I'm not too bad at the moment. But the thing is, we didn't want to move from where we are now because it was a lovely, quiet, peaceful spot.
So you were putting down your roots here?
Absolutely. Again, for the remaining years of our lives, and this has been taken away from us now, and the noise has been just absolutely horrendous, and there's apparently no way we can stop it.
How close are you to the wind turbine?
We're 700 metres away from the nearest one, and there are only two. They're 100 metres tall from tip to toe. It's the sort of noise that you could put up with outdoors. But when you come into your house and you try to escape it, it follows you. And it's there when you go to sleep and it's there when you wake up.
And we're virtually being evicted.
And that's the Keynes who are having to leave their house in Knockadangan in County Roscommon. The meeting was addressed by the Scottish MEP Struan Stevenson, and he's written extensively mm-hmm. and campaigned extensively against wind farms.
Absolutely, yes. He's been involved for a very long time. And he told me afterwards exactly how he feels about wind farms.
Well, I say wind farms are a complete scandal, they're a complete waste of money. They destroy, ravage the landscape, destroy people's health and lives, wreck property values, kill bird life. The only reason you get any wind farms built anywhere is because of the huge subsidies that are not coming from the taxpayer, they're coming directly from the consumer. They're simply passed down the line to the consumer, added onto people's electricity and gas bills, which are rocketing through the roof, destroying jobs, wrecking the economy. And if the Green Wire project means building 1,000 onshore wind turbines in the Midlands of Ireland and perhaps 1,300 turbines offshore, that is going to be a complete catastrophe for the people of one of the most beautiful parts of Ireland to supply electricity to England. And the English cannot afford to buy this high-cost electricity in the first place.
So is there nothing positive to be said for them?
There is absolutely nothing positive at all. In fact, future generations will shake their head in wonder when they look at how our generation ravaged the landscape of beautiful parts of the Irish Midlands, beautiful parts of Scotland and England, to build useless things that in 15 years' time will be rusting hulks.
Now, there was a wind turbine bill brought to the Senedd last year by Senator John Kelly. He was at that meeting last night.
Yeah, he was. He was there. And I asked him how his bill would address the problems because he feels he may have the solution.
The essence of my bill is that the taller the wind turbines are, the farther back they must be from people's homes. So in the case of turbines that are being built at the moment, which are 185 metres high, they should be 2 kilometres away from people's homes.
So where are you getting with it?
Well, apparently the Taoiseach doesn't support my bill, and it's actually just parked as a result of that. So I need to get the Taoiseach on board for the bill to be progressed. On top of that now, Willie Penrose has copied my bill and introduced another bill, which I was okay with, because I had full agreement with Willie to do this so that he could introduce it into the Dáil. And that, again, is parked until such time as he gets a slot to introduce it into the Dáil.
All right, so that was Senator John Kelly. Val, stay with us, and we're going to talk after the break to MEP Marion Harkin, who organised that meeting in Athlone last night, and to the Chief Executive of the Irish Wind Energy Association, Kenneth Matthews. We're continuing our conversation about that public meeting held in Athlone, County Westmeath yesterday about proposals to build a large-scale wind farm across the Midlands. It was organised by Marion Harkin, MEP. She joins me now on the line. Marion, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Miles, and to your listeners.
Did you have any preconceived notion about wind farming? Did you have any particular stance on wind farming before you came into this meeting?
Not especially, except that over the last couple of months I've received quite a number of emails and calls from some constituents and some outside my constituency, particularly in the Midlands, who are expressing real concern about what's happening. I've met Senator John Kelly and Senator John Whelan, who's also been very active on this in County Laois. John Kelly spoke about his bill there. I've met them twice in recent months discussing this issue and trying to see if there was any way forward with this or what could be done about it. But to be perfectly honest with you, Miles, it was only at the meeting last night when I listened to people that I got some sense of what was going on. I'll just give you one example. A young woman from Rode in County Offaly came up to me beforehand and she showed me a map of where she lives and where Rode is and of all of the planned developments from four or five, at least four different wind companies. And literally what she said was they would be surrounded by a steel cage. And her view was, when she heard about it first, well, you know, jobs, green energy sounds good, like most people. And then she said she began to understand the scale of it, the extent of it, this whole industrialization of the Midlands. And that's what frightened her. And that's the real sense that came across from people there last night. A lot of people there were not anti-wind instinctively, like I'm not. It was just, hold on, what's going on here? What input do we have into this? How is this going to affect our lives? You know, and it was that sense of absolute frustration and powerlessness that drove the anger that you heard in your first clip this morning.
Therefore, am I getting from what you're saying that while you are not anti-wind energy in any sense, that you need or you are very, very conscious about the practicalities, perhaps the location of turbines, the size of turbines and all of that. So that's you're looking for all of this to be taken into consideration.
Absolutely. And also, a lot of people there last night, as I said, felt powerless because they feel that the system is working against them. Every single bit of the system, Miles, in the sense that we had Tony Ward there, a councillor from Roscommon, who said that every single one of the Roscommon County councillors, including himself, voted against a particular proposal for a wind farm, but yet they were overruled by the county manager. And we got the example also where on board Clonalla can overrule county councils. And then the consultation, a lot of people talked simply it's box ticking. Communities have no access to experts. They don't have the money. They don't have the resources. They don't have the wherewithal. And at one point somebody said when I was speaking, who is going to protect us? And it was that sense that this is happening all around us. It's going to have a huge impact on our communities and our lives. And we're here and we don't know what to do about it. And that sense was so powerful in the meeting last night. It would knock you down. It was that incredible.
There's a division of opinion on turbines. Many people have no problem with them at all. Do you suggest that their attitude might change if they were forced to live close to them?
I suspect it would not. And all I can tell you, Miles, is that if it were me, or I'm not sure about you, but you can answer for yourself, and somebody proposed that within a couple of hundred metres of your home that they would build, let's say, 20 wind turbines ranging in height somewhere from 150 metres to 180, which is the spire on top of Liberty Hall, if you want to just get some idea of the scale that you're speaking about, you know, you'd have concerns. I certainly would have real concerns. And we're not talking, you see, the idea, when people hear about wind farms, they sort of think of windmills and something that's pretty small and manageable, and they mightn't like the idea of it on the horizon. But look, it's supplying renewable energy and all of that. But it's the industrial scale of what we're talking about here that people are horrified by. And again, the profile of the meeting last night, you know, very often at public meetings, you tend to get more men than women. You had a lot of young people, you had a lot of young women there last night, people really concerned about their families and communities and feeling powerless in the face of all of this, because decisions, so many of the decisions have already been taken by the time they realise what's going on and what's happening.
Does John Kelly's bill sound reasonable to you? The taller the turbines, the farther they should be from housing?
Of course it does. It may not solve all of the problems, but at least it's a reasonable start, and it's a way to deal with this so that at least people's worst fears are not realised and people understand that, you know, their politicians are working for them, that they have an understanding of what this is about, and that, as they said, somebody is in their corner, that it's not a question of them just feeling so totally powerless. So yes, I think, as you know, it's a reasonable proposal, and I know there were people last night who don't want to have wind farms at all, and that's their stance and they're well entitled to it. But I think for the vast majority of people, what they want is to know that whatever is put in place will not blight their lives and their landscape. Now, there are different views, and you heard Struan Stevenson, he's a colleague of mine, and Struan, you know, believes that from the economic point of view and every other point of view, this is a non-runner and shouldn't even be considered. And it's also interesting, Miles, because this is, you know, at a European level, what's going on. Next September, we will be voting on a new environmental impact assessment directive. And Struan is on the Environment Committee, and he has got an amendment to that, that property values will not be impacted negatively by any environmental project within the locality. That's a huge issue for a lot of people as well. Those, that couple, Dorothy and Michael, they have to leave their homes. Nobody will buy that house. I mean, it's worthless. And that's a big issue for a lot of people as well. So the point is now to try and get that through the Parliament in September, so that at least we hopefully could get some agreement that that would become part of any environmental impact assessment, that that would be taken into consideration. And the other issue is that communities would have access to independent consultants, because who carries out the assessments? It's the developers themselves. So people feel surrounded on all sides with nobody to help them.
Marion, stay with us, if you would, because also on the line is Kenneth Matthews, the chief executive of the Irish Wind Energy Association. And let me just preface my conversation with Kenneth by reading a text from Tommy Morris, who says he's just back from Madeira, Portugal, Portuguese island off Morocco. The wind farms are an essential part of the local energy sources. The Scottish public representative, that's Struan Stevenson, is a little over the top, saying it's totally useless. Obviously, this is a planning issue and needs to take residents into consideration. To say wind energy is useless is wrong. Kenneth Matthews, I suppose what essentially Marion Harkin is saying, and others, is there's a place for wind turbines, but it's not close to housing.
Yes, morning, Miles, and morning to your listeners. Miles, I must say I'm somewhat disappointed with the discussion so far. There's a number of inaccuracies, and in fact, you know, I understand we must listen to how people feel and their concerns about developments in their localities. However, we must base our discussion on facts and on science.
Okay, what are the facts? Where were we incorrect?
Well, the reality is Mr. Stevenson made several comments to say that wind energy didn't reduce our energy bills. In fact, numerous studies done in Ireland, one done recently by SEAI and Airgrid, two state companies, outline that wind energy in 2011 reduced our wholesale price of electricity by 74 million.
But what he was saying was that that wind energy is heavily subsidised. It's subsidised by the consumer, and in the process is destroying as many jobs as perhaps are being created by, or even more jobs than are being created by wind energy, or by the process by which wind energy is brought to us.
There's a market support mechanism in place for wind because it's a very capital-intensive industry. However, the market support mechanism has completely been balanced by the reduction of the wholesale price of electricity because wind energy forces off less efficient plant. And SEAI and Airgrid have shown in 2011 that the cost savings to the overall electricity system was 74 million. The average support mechanism that year was about 35 million, so the Irish consumer was up about 40 million that year. In 2020, when we deliver, and this is really important, our legally binding targets, and if we don't deliver these legally binding targets, fees will be imposed on us. And I think at this stage in our country and in our economy, we should be looking to ensure that we deliver jobs and growth and not supporting any initiative or any route that would actually impose additional fines in the country at a time where we should actually be looking to create jobs. So just on the point of jobs, there are 2,500 people actively working in the wind sector in Ireland. That's equivalent to the number of people who work in Intel in Kildare. However, the difference is these people are gainfully employed not only in Dublin and in Kildare, but right throughout the country, transforming their lives, bringing, bringing benefits to local communities in the sense that there are developments locally, there are operations and maintenance jobs locally, and there are construction jobs from the pipeline of projects that will be built to deliver 2020 targets. I feel it's very important that we should stress that this issue around noise, there have been 17 independent research notes done on the issue associated with potential noise and its potential ill health effects associated with wind energy. And 17 of those reports have shown that there is no peer-reviewed or there is no link between proximity to wind turbines and ill health effects.
Who's commissioned these reports? Who's paid for these reports?
These reports have been commissioned by the Massachusetts Department of Environment, also the Australian Department of the Environment, and numerous other departments of environment right across the world. We need to look at this in context of what is actually happening across Europe. And if we look at what wind energy has done there is 50 times more wind energy development across Europe than there is in Ireland.
But I mean,
There'd be no issues associated with 100 gigawatts of wind energy right across Europe, and there's been no evidence to suggest that there's any ill health effects.
Okay, but people listening will be struck by the experience of the Keynes. They are leaving their home because of a wind farm, because of the noise associated with a wind farm. Surely they would not be doing that unless there was some deleterious effect.
I can't comment clearly on an individual's feelings or an individual case, but what I can tell you is...
No, it's not their feelings, it's their hearing.
Well, the facts are that the background noise at night is about 20 to 40 decibels. A car travelling at about 64 kilometres an hour, 100 metres away, is about 55 decibels. And a wind farm is about 35
decibels. Yeah, but I mean, cars going by, unless you're living on a street, cars are going by on a regular basis. This is constant. This is 24/7.
Yeah, but the background noise in the rural area at night is actually, in some cases, much higher than noise at a wind farm at about 500 metres away.
Background noise in a rural area, as in what? Birds tweeting?
Birds, cows,
what background noise? Birds and cows are making more noise than a wind turbine.
In effect, a study has shown that there are similar levels of background noise as there is from wind energy wind farms at about 500 metres away. And I think the reality here is we need to look at the facts, and the facts suggest that there isn't an issue with
this. Okay, well, most of the birds of my experience are fairly quiet at night, Kenneth, it has to be said. But can I just, on the issue of size...
17 peer-reviewed studies by credible professors who have, you know... diligent research done into the acoustics and noise have shown right across the world.
Nobody leaves a home that they have spent 8 years creating for themselves. Nobody leaves a home unless they have pretty good grounds for doing so. Can I just ask you, in relation to the height, to give us an idea of the scale of the kind of turbines that are going to be installed in the Midlands? Somebody has texted in to say the turbine that is forcing the couple out of their home is the same height as the aerial in Montrose. The turbines in the Midlands are twice that height. Is that fair enough? Are we talking about something which is around the height of Liberty Hall?
Most of the turbines would be about 100 to 120 metres in height. The detail of
that, that means nothing to people. Just give us an idea Liberty Hall.
Similar in size to Liberty Hall. However, I think it must be stressed that the department and the minister have outlined that they are going to put a framework in place to look at how exporting wind energy from the Midlands or the west or the east coast of Ireland will be delivered. And that framework will deliver a strategic environmental assessment. So communities have nothing to fear from that because it will be an extremely rigorous process. Also, it's very important to point out that, you know, if you look at the planning system in Ireland, yes, it is rigorous. And the number of applications for wind farms that are required to meet our domestic targets, there's about 40% of those applications over the last 18 to 2 years.
Yeah, but it would appear that local councillors, if local councillors are opposed to these wind farms, that they are overruled by county managers. Where's local democracy in all of this?
But the planning system is there to do its job, and clearly locals have their opportunity to voice their concerns, and they have an opportunity to engage with developers during their consultation process. They also have an opportunity, and there have been numerous opportunities given by a number of developers for the Midlands projects to engage with the plans for those projects, and my understanding is many of those engagements have gone extremely well. People are, in fact, are actually saying, you know, tell us when the jobs are coming, because we actually recognise that this is going to be a huge boost to the economy in the Midlands. And, you know, 30% of the county council rates in Donegal at present come from wind energy development. You know, over the last 20 years, wind energy development in Ireland has delivered 83 million. And between now and 2020, it can deliver another 140 million on top of that. Last year alone, wind energy development in 1 year delivered 11.5 million across county councils to county council rates.
Right, okay,
so
we're running out of time on this one. Again, I want to ask you about John Kelly's bill, because again, John Kelly's bill sounds pretty reasonable. The taller the turbine, the further it should be from a housing. Do you have any problem with John Kelly's bill?
Yes, we do, because if John Kelly is concerned about costing the Irish citizen in 2020, he would recognise that if this bill were to be proposed, the future that he is proposing is that we'll fail to meet our 2020 targets, our electricity prices will rise, there will be the loss of 2,500 jobs, the inability to create thousands more jobs. And if you look at recently, IKEA, recently bought a wind farm in Leitrim, because they recognise that there's a link between sustainable energy, securing your energy supply at low prices, and FDI investment in Ireland.
Okay.
I think the future for us should be looking at creating jobs.
Kenneth Matthews, thank you very much indeed, Chief Executive of the Irish Wind Energy Association. Just very briefly, Marion Harkin, you are organising other information meetings around the country over the next number of weeks, are you?
Well, indeed, there are a number of meetings that will be organised. I know Senator John Whelan is organising one in, I think, about 2 days' time. I just don't have the details. Can I make just two very brief
comments? Very, very brief.
He's talking about Ireland's legally binding targets. Most of the wind energy produced in the Midlands will be exported to the UK. It'll be to meet their targets, not ours. And secondly, he's talking about the size of the turbines. The applications are talking about 150 to 184, not Liberty Hall miles. The spire on top of Liberty Hall is about 184 metres. That gives people some idea of what we're talking about here.
Okay.
It's the industrial size and scale of this that is almost beyond belief.
OK, Marion Harkin, thank you very much indeed. We will leave it there. Marion Harkin, Member of the European Parliament. We'll take a break.